And I want to take you in a little bit different direction this morning as we think about our praise that we're offering to God. The mistake that many people will make is that they will only praise God in certain circumstances. And that's a dreaded mistake. The Bible, as we learned on last Sunday, tells us that we should bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in our mouth. And certainly we should direct our praise unto God. Today I'm going to talk about something a little bit different. We're going to talk about the enemies of praise. A lot of people don't think about it, but you have factors, you have emotions, you have spirits that fight and battle against your praise. And if you're not conscious of that, you will deny God what He rightfully deserves. I want to go further and tell you that your enthusiasm in serving God will never rise above the level of your praise. You can't get excited about serving God if you don't praise Him. When you praise Him, you want to do more. And I want to give you just a generic or just an example. At a sports event, you see people praising their favorite team, and it does something to boost them, to help them to score and to do better when they're receiving that applause. Now, I'm not saying that you can improve what God does, but what praise does is helps you to recognize what God is doing. It's called revelation. It's called a revelation. Let me take you to the scripture today. Romans chapter 1, verses 20 through 25. Romans chapter 1, verses 20 through 25. And I'm going to have to do this in two parts because I don't think I'm going to get it all done today, but we'll pick up on part two on next Sunday. Romans chapter 1, verses 20 through 25. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been seen clearly, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, look at that, they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God, nor were they thankful. But their thinking became futile, vain, and their foolish heart was darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. If you don't praise Him, there it is right there. You ain't nothing but a fool. Verse 23, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human beings and birds and animals and reptiles. Oh, that ain't all. You can get to something in a minute here. That ain't all. Therefore, whenever there's a therefore, you need to see what it's there for. You need to understand why God will do certain things. Look at what it says. Therefore, God gave them over in their sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. Isn't that a shame? These folk that know God or have seen a revelation from God didn't give Him glory, and God gave them over. Verse 25, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. The enemies of praise. You may be seated. I gotta run through this. I don't want to rush too much, but I've got to go through this because people don't understand that when you come to church and your attitude is not to give God thanks, You playing with something you don't know how to deal with. I'm not saying you need to be noisy. I'm not saying that you have to get out there and run up and down the aisles. If that's the way you praise God, then that's fine. Just don't run into nobody. But if you don't praise God, ladies and gentlemen, you are subject to fall into the vain lifestyle which we see the world going in that direction. In other words, the more you give God praise, the more something happens on the inside of you. Giving God thanks is more than words can express. It expands the revelation of God. It expands His truth so much to where you say to God, God, I see you. God, I see you. When He blesses you, God, I see you. When He pours out mercy upon you, God, I see you. When God picks you up, He said, God, I see you. I see what you're doing, and I'm thankful. That's what praise is. That's what praise does in your life. It expands that revelation so that when God reveals Himself, you're acknowledging in love how much you appreciate God's mercy and His kindness. Companies, organizations, those that manufacture and produce products or service, they do a couple of things. They, first of all, they put their name on the product, on the service, so you will know what that company is all about. I'll give you an example. Coca-Cola. It can be an empty bottle, but you can tell from looking at that empty can or bottle, Coca-Cola Company made that. Nike, they have a little victory symbol. That symbol tells you that no matter where you are, oh, that's Nike. That's Nike. Watch this. God revealed His power in creation. In creation. And that's not His only revelation, but that's one of His revelations. God made everything. People will argue, oh, I don't believe in God, when the evidence is all around you. Ladies and gentlemen, somebody made this pulpit. Somebody made those pews that you're sitting in. Their name may or may not be on it, but you can say to yourself, well, somebody made it. And in the case of some companies, they say, I want you to know that I made this. Watch this. I see the handiwork of God in the sky. I see the work of God on the mountain. I see it in the waves of the sea when they come crashing up on the shore. I don't know what people are thinking. Maybe they're not thinking. But you know what? I'm thinking. But I'm not all only thinking. I'm thanking God. God speaks through His revelation. His revelation is creation. But His revelation is also love. Did you not know that God revealed His love? It said, for God so loved the world that He gave. That's revelation. What did He give? He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's God's revelation. If you look at Israel, you say, well, what is Israel? That's God's revelation of faithfulness. God faithfully delivered them and brought them and made them a nation. And no matter how much people want to destroy them, God says, that's my people. That's the evidence of God. In this text that Paul is talking about, there are people in the world that they've gone vain, empty in their imagination. They say, oh, there's no God. There's no God. They are denying God's revelation. And every morning that you get up, whether it's cloud or sunshine, you can look up and say, God, You made all of this. And You are worthy of my praise. You are worthy of all the glory and all of the honor. They knew God. I want you to focus on that part of that verse. It says, and when they knew God, how do they know him? They knew him through the revelation. They knew him through what God had shown them. And I'm not going to get into personal revelation because y'all might shout too much in here. But that time that you were down and think you couldn't get up, God revealed himself to you, didn't he? The old folks had a word for it. He brought me from a mighty, mighty long way. Are y'all in the house? You've got to acknowledge God's revelation. And when you do that, an amazing thing happens within your heart. I'm going to give you five things today. Five enemies to praise and to your failure to acknowledge God's wonderful love. Five things. I'm not going to explain them all, but I'll try to share them with you so that we can go through it together. You've got to understand that this world is becoming more and more vain, more and more empty. We got to argue on whether or not you're Republican or are you Democrat. You're supposed to be helping the people regardless. I don't know how to say how idiotic it is for people to think that you got a war over a position. Every position has been given by God. I pray we got some politician that accidentally logged into Crossroad website so I can tell them, you need to quit that foolishness. Do right by the people. Serve the people and help them. Lord have mercy, Jesus. Now, before I list the enemies of praise, I want to tell you what their desire is, what the enemies of praise is all about. Paul says in this verse, for when they knew God, since the creation of the world, the invisible qualities of God, he has allowed us to clearly see by the things that are made. But although they knew God, they did not glorify him. What's our job, church? What's our job? To glorify God. If you don't let God be glorified in your life, who will? Do you expect the sinner to give God praise? Now, sometimes they do. Somebody won that lottery. I can see them shouting now. But you know what he's done for the inside of you. You know how he has delivered you. You know how he has conquered the enemies and things that would destroy you. You know how God brought you out. Sometimes you just got to lift your hands and say, Lord, I just want to thank you. The enemies of praise. What are their goals? What are their objectives? One is for you to deny God's revelation. That's number one. They want to erase God from everything. But you can't erase goodness. You can't erase mercy. You can't erase kindness. You can't erase deliverance. You can't erase Holy Ghost power. You can't erase the mercy of God that is poured out in your life. You can't erase that. And if you're wise, if you're understanding, The simple thing for you to do, and like I say, you ain't got to be loud. I'm from the country. I had to be loud. Pigs don't come to the trough until you say, Suey! Cows don't come in until you call them, and I am a country boy. And since God sent me to be a preacher, I'm going to cry loud and spare not. So, the enemy prays. Watch this. He wants you to deny God. He wants you to deny God. He wants you to deny everything that God is doing in your life. Close behind that is the fact that you develop this sense of pride in yourself. I'm not talking about being confident. I'm talking about thinking that you made yourself. Psalm 100 says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So you got to acknowledge him. And that's what the enemy does not want you to do. The second thing the enemy is that's on his agenda, he wants to lie about God's truth to the extent that he can turn God's truth into a lie. But when you praise him, you shut him down. When you start saying to yourself, I'm going to praise him and I'm going to thank him anyhow, there's nothing more he can do to you. He wants to take the truth out of your heart. But when you praise God, you're acknowledging the truth. It's true, Lord, you did wake me up this morning. It's true, God, you forgave me of all of my sin. It's true, God, can I go with my grandma? He walks with me. He talks with me and tells me that I am his own. But if the enemy of praise had his way, he'd shut it down. So much to the point where he turned the truth into a lie. Look at what it says here. For when they knew God, they exchanged the truth. Verse 25. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the created things rather than the Creator. See, when you don't serve God, you're going to serve something. It might be your money. But most folk in there, you ain't got to worry about that. Right? It might be your home. It might be your car. It might be other things that you have in your life. It may be loved ones. You can worship your kids. But God says, that's a praise that belongs to me. Third objective, not only to deny God's revelation and lie about God's truth, but it's to lead the believer into a depraved life. The devil hates the fact that you know God. He hates it. And if he can have it his way, he's going to have you doing stuff that you never thought you would do. Look at what the word says. He said, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but they became vain or empty in their foolish thinking, and their hearts were darkened. All right, what else happened? Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity. Isn't that something? Some of y'all trying to duck. Oh, yeah, too late to duck now. How can people do all these depraved things? They did not honor God in their heart. And so when you push God out, you automatically tell the devil, come on in. Take over. I don't know about you all, but I come to church not because I got it all together, but I'm like Reverend Gibbons. Sometimes you have that stinking thinking, right? Those thoughts will come into your mind, but when you start praising God, you push. Everybody do this. Just push. Just push. Just push, amen? I didn't tell you push other folk. I told you push. When you honor God, when you praise God, when you thank God, now you're saying, I can't have those things to take over my life. That's why I come to church, because I realize every time that we get together, even though we're praising God, we're also encouraging one another. It's like cheerleading, amen? Yeah, you're saying, Jesus, Jesus. And then time somebody else says, Jesus. Now a bunch of us are saying, Jesus, and we all get energized. I like that. You all gain strength because you are honoring God. I got a few more minutes. Let me get into the five enemies. Let me tell you who these enemies are. I told you what they did, and I'm going to tell you who they are. The first enemy of your praise is disobedience. First enemy of your praise is disobedience. For although they knew God, verse 21, they neither glorify him as God nor did they give him thanks. Did you not know that praise is commanded? When you say the word hallelujah, that's not an invitation, it's a command. Hallelujah means praise the Lord. You praise the Lord. Now, why is that important? If you don't acknowledge what God has done and what he is moving and how he's directing in your life, then you're actually being disobedient to God. Why do you think the psalmist David wrote so many hymns of praise? He wanted to acknowledge everything. And brother, when he started writing, he said, I can't stop. He's my shepherd. He's my light. He's my hope. He's my battle axe. He's my strength. When I get weak, he's my deliverer. God is everything. Then he finds something else about God. He leads me beside the green pastures. He lights up my life. He's my joy. He's my salvation. He's my blessed strength. Everything I need, God's got it. He was not being disobedient. You can't do many things for God except one, and that's to give him thanks. But you know, we got a little help with that disobedience. And it's called this thing called discontentment. That's the second enemy. Write it down. Disobedience. All right? We're going to obey God, but we're going to come to church and somebody ain't going to speak to us. So when the preacher says hallelujah, we're going hallelujah. Did I come down your street? I put the signal on. Or we cannot forgive other people, so when we come to church, we notice somebody that we haven't really forgiven. Now we're trying to get our praise on, but the praise won't come because you got unforgiveness in your heart, which is another form of disobedience.
Yeah.
Are y'all still here?
Yeah.
That's why when people come to church, they have this heaviness that comes over them. And rather than being joyful in the Lord, it's hard to see y'all behind the mask, by the way, but so I don't know whether you're smiling or what. Rather than being joyful in the Lord, they've got this spirit of heaviness. Where did that spirit come from? It came from your disobedience, the enemy to your praise. Paul says they knew God. Not many people that know God except those that are born again. Amen? They neither glorified him as God nor were they thankful. I'm afraid that many of you are going to go into this holiday season and the only thing you're going to be concerned about is saying grace over that turkey or grace over something else. Maybe you're thankful for your family. But do you not know that 364 days leading up to Thanksgiving, God watched over your life. God kept you. You got a whole lot to be thankful for. Discontentment, that also comes in. I'm just going to hit the surface with this. I'm just going to try to deal with it a little bit. But you know, when we are told to praise God, there are things that will prevent us from giving God thanks. Disobedience is one. Discontentment is the other. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor were they thankful. What is it that blocks thankfulness? Discontentment. And discontentment is a dangerous animal that can attack you at any time and cause you to not give God his glory. Children of Israel, walking through the wilderness. Now, God just brought them out of bondage, right? He just brought them out of Egypt. It's like some of you, he just brought you out of your problem, brought you out of your situation. You're on your journey now. But rather than being thankful for the journey, you're complaining all the way. You're complaining. You're saying, well, we don't have this. We don't have that. They complained about the journey to freedom. They complained about the food that God provided. They murmured. And when you murmur, that murmuring is what we might call just chewing over something. You're saying something, but you're not saying it in a positive way. Are y'all still in the building? And it says many of them died in the wilderness. They never got out. Why? Because they never conquered that spirit of discontentment. But I'm this way. Any way you bless me, Lord, is all right with me. Anybody with me? Any way you touch my life, God, is all right with me. Now, Paul is pointing to a problem with people that believe. He starts it in Romans because he wants to set the rest of the book. If you cannot appreciate for God's creative things, the thing that he made, How are you going to appreciate the thing that you can't see, which is your salvation? Watch where I'm going with this. Whenever you stop thanking God for your salvation, you're going to go vain. Then you get to that third enemy called doubt. If you don't start thanking God for lifting you out of sin and washing you in the blood of the Lamb, what's going to happen? Oh, that's dull. That's old. That ain't old, ladies and gentlemen. Did you not know on your salvation is a ticket stamp for glory? Did you not know that any time the believer gets ready, you can call on God and God will acknowledge you because you have His identification on Him? Let me put it to you this way. The product manufacturers also have on the back of many of their products what's called a warranty plate. You pull out your washing machine, you pull out some of those other devices, and you'll see on the back of it, it has a warranty. Sometimes it comes in the form of a booklet, right? You don't read it. You don't know what's in the warranty. But thank God on that warranty, it's got a telephone number. That if that thing breaks and it's within the time limit that they assigned for it, whether it be 1 year, 2 years, or 3 years, you can always call them up and tell them what you want. Your salvation is so good that it's got a warranty on it. Jesus said, whoever believes in me has eternal life. The warranty never grows old. So anytime I have an issue in my life because I am saved, because I am washed in the blood, I can call on Jesus and say, Lord, I'm your child. Would you please take care of me? Anybody glad about their salvation? Anybody glad about being born again? That enemy of doubt will come in. That enemy of doubt will oppress you. And it says in the word that they exchange the truth about God for a lie. And I'm going to close with this. And I got two more to tell you. You got to come back next Sunday to get it. Oh, there's some good ones too. But those enemies that I've told you about, disobedience, discontentment, and doubt, they have come to conquer you and to keep you from praising God. Did you not know that the praise of God goes on continuously in heaven? Angels worship God all the time. And I mean, they do some pretty, I mean, it's amazing stuff. They cast their crowns down before Him. Angels will stand and praise God to one another and say, oh, holy, holy, holy. And the other would say, holy, holy, holy. And it escalates because they're praising God. But angels ain't been blessed like you and me. They've not been brought out of darkness like you and I. God has not done for the angels what He's done for you. And the Lord opens His ears and said, I know I'm going to hear some praise today. I know I'm going to hear some thank you, Jesus, today. But instead, what we want to do is we want to have the choir to thank God for us. But can't nobody tell what God has done for you like you? If the Lord has been good to you, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Don't be ashamed to lift your hands. Don't be ashamed to stand on your feet. Don't be ashamed because nobody knows like you know what Jesus has done for you. When I think about the goodness of the Lord and all that He's done for me, my soul shouts hallelujah. Come on, give Him some glory in there. Hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. Thank God for His deliverance. That was the Lord. That was the Lord. I'm going to my seat. But God has been so good to me. He's been just that good. Oh, God has been so good to me. He's been just that good. Say it with me. Oh, God has been so good to me. He's been just that good. God has been
good to me. He's been just that good.
You know what he did?
He picked me up, turned me around. He's been just that good. He placed my feet on solid ground. He's been just that good.
If he's been good to you, stand on your feet.
God has been so good to me. He's been just that good. I know he's been. God has been so good to me. He's been just that good.
Look at somebody, tell him,
oh yeah. He's been just that good.
While you're standing, I want to give the invitation. There might be someone that you've not given God praise for all of the amazing things that he has done in your life. If you're online, you know, you're on YouTube and you're on Facebook, you chat everything else. Chat that. Chat that God has been just that good. Tell somebody. We're filling this world with hatred, animosity, and all we need to do is fill it with praise. And I'm telling you, praise will have a mighty word. Can I get a witness? I want to get the invitation. I'm not done with the sermon. Y'all know I'm just holding off till next Sunday. But I want you, honestly, to surrender your life to God and show the evidence of that through your praise. There's someone in here, you've never really surrendered your life to God. Today is a good day to do it. One thing I know, you can't fake a praise because it always comes from the heart. Maybe you'd like to be a part of our church family. The Lord is blessing. You want to be a part of us. We had Lula that joined us on last Sunday and others that have joined us, but maybe today God has spoken to you and said, you know what, I need to be in a place of praise. I got negativity on my job, negativity in my house. I need a place where I can go and just give God thanks. We're here for you. Is there one? Doors of the church are open. Let there be one. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I know you've been attending a long time, so today you want to make it official, right? Amen. Amen. I'm going to get started. What's your name again?
Margie.
Mm-hmm. Margie. Last name?
Lewis.
Margie. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Margie Lewis before us today. She's been attending with her sister Maddie for long time, but we thank God that today she said, you know what, I just need to go on and make this official. Amen. God bless you. Now you'll be joined by a letter of Christian experience. Okay. So she's coming on her Christian experience, and what is your pleasure at this time? Lewis. Amen. Promptly move and second to receive Margie Lewis as a member of Crossroad on a Christian experience. You've heard the motion. Are we prepared to vote? All in favor, vote aye.
Aye.
And contraries, so moved and carried. God bless you. We welcome you, Margie. Well, you've been here all along. So. Amen. Amen. I'm going to get you to, at the end of the service, we're going to greet her and also Lula, who joined on last Sunday. We're going to greet them at the close of this service. So, man, if you could just have her to go and see Mr. Warren. Okay.
Everybody say praise.
Amen.
Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. blessed Savior, He's worthy to be.
Before we leave today, Jamara reminded me that we hadn't sung Happy Birthday. So he is the official Happy Birthday singer in the church. So he's going to sing Happy Birthday. All of those in November, if you can raise your hands. And amen. All November. Jamara's got a song he's going to sing to you. All right.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to everybody. Happy birthday to you. May God bless you.
Sing it, boy.
May God bless you.
Please remain standing for our dismissal.
You know, one of the things, though, that Brother Sean, Jovell didn't tell you, and I don't even know if she wants me to say that, Jovell. I was invited over at Jefferson Forest, trying to figure out what am I going to do there. Why they invited me. And what I discovered, of course, she kept quiet a little bit about it, and that is she was one of those students that they honored. She is an A student, so God bless her. I'm proud of her. But most importantly, though, I like that. But I would, as I said to her and my son, what I'm going to be proud of them the most is to honor the Lord, because that is more important. So let us pray. Father, this morning we are so thankful and so grateful that you have spoken to us today. As we study in our Sunday school, that we must be swift to hear. And the things of God that we are hearing today, help us to filter it, so that, oh God, our understanding of who you are will resonate in our lives, so as we leave this sanctuary, we will be able to go out and to share it with others, and our lives, oh God, may be that one who have been and are serving the Lord. We thank you for the message. We thank you for all of those, dear God, that you have blessed today and are blessing. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord cause the light of his countenance to shine upon you and bless you with his peace this day and all of your tomorrow. And let the church say, amen.